Hey everyone, my name is Ryan Cavan, and I'm here with my co-host, Terrell Thurlgood.
What's up, everybody?
We want to welcome you to Water Break. Here on our show, we are going to have conversations with each other, as well as with a variety of other guests who are just as involved and as passionate about sports as we are.
From professional athletes, to coaches, to college players trying to make it big, to the high school athlete trying to earn that scholarship, and everyone in between.
Whether you're a coach, player, or just a fan, we are here to have unique dialogue and perspectives on topics we have thought about, talked about, and are now excited to bring to you.
So be sure to stick around, hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast app you're using right now, and get ready to relax and take a water break.
Episode 2.
Here we go. We're back at it again.
Yes, we are. And thank you to all of you for tuning in to our first episode. We're excited to discuss all things NFL today.
I love me some NFL football, so yes. I'm excited for today's episode.
As do I. And a topic, something that maybe you haven't thought about, maybe you have, that we are excited to discuss in our first segment, and that is talking about the NFL MVP award. Is it really just a quarterback award?
I mean, that's the way I see it. I mean, I look at the history of the NFL. And just being a fan, I always get frustrated when they're talking about who's going to win the MVP this season. And it's just a list of quarterbacks. So,
well, mainly a list of quarterbacks.
Okay.
So since 1961, when that award began, there have been 58 seasons and 60 MVP trophies given out. Because in 1997, Brett Favre and Barry Sanders. And then 2003, your boy Peyton Manning and Steve McNair were co-MVPs as well. So obviously not 60 different awards, seeing as multiple players have won multiple times. Peyton Manning winning 4?
I believe he won
It's either 4 or 5. Either 4 or 5. Okay.
Only 5-time MVP.
Got it. Out of those 60 awards, 19 of those winners were non-quarterbacks. And in the past 20 years, only 4 non-quarterbacks have won the MVP award.
Yeah.
The last 20, only 4. Those 4 are, in 2012, Adrian Peterson, 2006, LaDainian Tomlinson, 2005, Sean Alexander, and 2000, Marshall Faulk. So here's kind of the breakdown here of, I'm going to give a little bit of detail on this, and then I want to hear your opinion, okay?
All right.
So, Adrian Peterson, what did he have to do to win the MVP award? Adrian Peterson had to rush for 2,097 rushing yards, just 9 yards shy of breaking Eric Dickerson's single-season all-time record. He also recorded 12 rushing touchdowns. LaDainian Tomlinson in 2006, we know what he did, rushed for 1,800 yards and broke the single-season rushing touchdown record with 28 rushing touchdowns. In 2005, Sean Alexander ran for almost 1,900 yards and recorded 27 rushing touchdowns, which at that time was the NFL record. Yep. So the next year, LT broke that record. And then Marshall Faulk, part of the greatest show on turf, my Rams, much love, much respect, averaged just under 100 rushing yards per game, had 18 rushing touchdowns. And this was all after getting a Super Bowl win the year before when the Rams won that championship. Yeah. So that's what these players had to do in the past 20 years to win the MVP award. Terrell, do you think that the NFL MVP award, that they should change that?
Yes.
And they should have 2 separate awards. One, he didn't even let me get it out.
Times, yes.
I am running this segment. Should they just make it a quarterback's award?
Absolutely, because for all the reasons you mentioned, I mean, 4 running backs have won in the last 20 years, and really, by the way,
wide receiver has never won.
Wide receiver's never won, and I think the only other positions you had, the last defensive player to get it was LT, Lawrence Taylor, in, I think, 86.
Long time ago, yeah.
Was the last defensive player to get it, and then you have the kicker for the Redskins, I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But I think he was the other, like, he was the only special teamer, I believe, to win the MVP award. And so, for the most part, it's a quarterback award. I think they should change it up. And
how would they change it?
So, I do like what college football does in breaking down each position.
They still got the Heisman, though.
And then you have the Heisman, right? But I think the NFL does a little bit of variation with that when they do their all-pro team. So they give out they put someone in each position. They just get the 22 best players a year for the first team and the second team all-pro. So they do something like that. But here's what I think they should do. I think they should take a page out of the MLB's book and how the MLB has its AL and its NL MVP.
Yes.
And then it also has its AL and NL Cy Young Award. I think the NFL should do with the quarterbacks like they do with the Cy Young Award, and whoever is the best quarterback in each conference should get the award for best quarterback. And then the MVP, you should consider the skill players because
that's a flawed argument.
Well,
that's a very flawed argument because if you look at the MLB, their structure, rarely does a pitcher, whether he's the best player in the league, win the MVP honors.
Well, I think I do like how they do that because you recognize the pitcher because while he is important, you still need to get runs on the board. You need to have run support. And the same with the quarterback. I think the quarterback can still be really good, but you still need the skill players. And sometimes the skill player does more than the quarterback. I look at last season.
So you're comparing a pitcher in baseball to a quarterback in football.
In a way. Because, okay, hear me out on this.
I've been listening to you the whole time.
Hear me out on this one. Let me finish this. Let me finish my point here.
Okay.
I think sometimes the skill players in the NFL don't get the credit they deserve. You look at last year with the Tennessee Titans, right? They had two different quarterbacks under center for them.
But Derrick Henry.
And you have Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has a fantastic year. Leads the league in rushes. I think rushing yards per game. And I think carries. He has a great season. And he's really the reason that the Titans can go far. And then you have Ryan Tannehill who just managed the game. And, you know, didn't turn the ball over. But they really relied on Derrick Henry. They look at the Saints with Michael Thomas, who I believe broke the record for receptions last year, all NFL record for receptions. He had two quarterbacks playing with him in Bridgewater and Breeze, and still put up numbers with both quarterbacks. So I think, and then going back, you mentioned my boy, Peyton Manning.
The sheriff.
In 2012, the year that Adrian Peterson won, he had one of the best years of his career, and Adrian Peterson took home MVP and Offensive Player of the Year. I think for football being such a team sport, they only give out three really major awards. You give out the Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and MVP. When it's really a big, like it's a team sport, I think there should be more recognition for, yes, we realize quarterback is the most valuable position on the team, and so we should recognize it for what it is. It should be its own separate award, who was the best quarterback. But I think MVP wise, who was the most valuable player, which player added the most value to the league, I think there should be more consideration to the other skill players, like wide receiver, like running back, even defensive players as well.
So your argument, I understand, and I think there are some valid points there. I'm not going to say that there aren't. But just like in football, we would say that the quarterback has a better chance of winning the MVP,
yes,
because of his position. And a skilled position will have to do something amazing, break a record to win that award. We discussed those four guys, yeah, and what they did. They did something amazing to win MVP.
Correct.
That year. The same thing happens in baseball with the Cy Young. They are given those awards, which if you did that, the Cy Young Award is an established award. It's very prestigious. I believe if you were to change that this year, there's no amazing recognition of an award. You would be the first time winner. It would need some years to prove itself as a, that's, man, he won that award. So when you say Clayton Kershaw won the Cy Young Award, you're like, wow, he won the Cy Young. But let's say you name the award after whoever.
Star Award.
Yeah, I was going to say Joe Montana.
okay, that's fine.
But let's say you name it the Montana Award or whatever. Yeah. And how many years would it take for it to be like, man, he won the Montana Award this year?
I think not that long. I think
because if not, then the quarterback, like in baseball, now the pitcher has to do so much to get the MVP. The last person to do it was Clayton Kershaw. Has to do so much to get the Cy Young and the MVP award. Well, now you're going to do that to the quarterback now. Well, because they have this separate award, now the switch is going to be flipped. And it's now going to be, okay, we're looking at skill players for the MVP. And now this quarterback, if he wants to do it, he has to break this amazing record. He has to have this type of performance to win this award. Either way, is it fair? No. I am for the option of adding some other type of awards. And I don't know what they are, you know, but I don't think that you should punish a quarterback. Because it seems like we're punishing quarterbacks here who are, you cannot argue they are the most valuable position on an NFL team.
But I don't think we're punishing the quarterback. I think we're just giving more recognition to the other players on the team, especially when they have, like you mentioned.
But now history's too far gone now, T. Yeah, so but it's now these new players, they'll never have a chance to be the greatest quarterback of all time because Peyton Manning has these MVPs and Tom Brady has these MVPs. Well, these guys never got an MVP, and people are going to look at that.
Yeah, but
it's going to affect their legacy.
But I don't think that's fair, like, in the long term, you know, with anything to say, well, because we didn't do it in the past, we shouldn't, you know, change anything or switch it up.
Well, Jerry Rice ever win an MVP?
Well, I mean, look at like instant replay in the NFL, right? Think about how many plays that have happened over time. Oh, well, if we had instant replay, how many Super Bowl different Super Bowl champions? I mean,
but you could say that about everything.
Right. So I think it's fair if, you know, you could say it about anything. So I don't think it's a fair thing to say, well, because it's going to, you know, affect people in the past may be upset about it because they didn't get the same opportunities.
It's going to affect the future quarterbacks to come. It's going to affect their legacy, I believe. Like, because of, you look at Peyton, one of the things that made him great, obviously, you know, you can have that debate. We can have that debate another time between Peyton and Tom, you know, because mm-hmm. obviously Tom Brady has the playoffs, the Super Bowls, and Peyton has the regular season, the numbers, all of that. But that's one of the things that made him great were those MVP awards.
But I think you can add like another layer to the MVP or the conversation of who's the GOAT, right? Or who's the best, you know, player in NFL history. You would say, well, this player's won X, Y, and Z amount of quarterback awards. He's been the best quarterback in the NFL X amount of times. You know, it's just a different award, and you can now you can put that on the quarterback. That's the expectation of the quarterback, is to win the best quarterback of the year award. And then you can recognize another skill player. And like you said, for the quarterback to do something amazing, right? The year Peyton Manning broke the record through 55 touchdowns, he's deserving of quarterback of the year and most valuable player. But I think with a year like Adrian Peterson had, Peyton Manning's amazing season gets overlooked or doesn't get recognized because of Peterson's spectacular year, or vice versa. You look at this past season, Lamar Jackson wins MVP. He throws 36 touchdowns, you know,
so rushes for a lot of yards. That's what I was going to ask you. This past season, you're looking at this past season. Okay, then let's say we move to this that you're proposing, okay? And this past season, we had just voted in Roger Goodell, the best commissioner in sports.
Yes, I agree with you.
Okay, he's the best. But let's say they did it last year. who wins MVP, who wins quarterback award this past year?
If we go to this past season, I would say the quarterback of the year I would give to Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
And then I would give the MVP to Michael Thomas or Derrick Henry. Really? I would lean towards Michael Thomas because of the same.
So record. you don't think is Lamar Jackson, is he in that conversation?
I think he is. I mean, you could.
If you gave
Lamar Jackson the MVP, I think you can still have that argument of Lamar Jackson's definitely the best quarterback. But then I think the argument's closer, like for Lamar Jackson versus Michael Thomas, who's going to be the MVP.
Who did the most for their team last year? Who was the most valuable person? I mean, that's what the MVP award should be. Who is the most valuable to their team? The NBA has kind of taken away from that. To me, it's more who puts up the most statistical numbers, whose stats are better.
Right.
But the award was originated for this purpose. Who is the most valuable to their team? So this past season, was Michael Thomas more valuable to the Saints than Derrick Henry was to the Titans? And then Derrick Henry to the Titans, was he more valuable than Lamar Jackson to the Ravens?
I think that's
who was the most valuable.
I think that's another argument too, is what is the what does MVP mean? Like, you brought the NBA.
Well, that's what it means, but that's not what it always is given to.
Sometimes I agree. Sometimes it gets switched up on
who has the best numbers. Yeah.
You know, like Russell Westbrook, you know, averaging a triple double, but
which was unbelievable. But
Oklahoma City being the seventh seed, I believe, in the NBA that year, you know, is also, you take it away from a LeBron James or you know, someone whose team is one of the top teams in the NBA. Or you look at Derrick Henry, had a great year, but the Titans were the sixth seed in the AFC. You know, whereas Lamar Jackson's Ravens were the one seed, and then the Saints were the two seed, I believe, last year in the NFL. So again, I think you can make the argument for quarterback being able, like Lamar Jackson, what made his special was his ability to run the football too.
Yeah.
So you can say, yeah, he had an MVP level season too, where he can win both. But like you said, they have to have this big year or this crazy good year too, alongside. But again, if a skill player has a good year but not a great, like Michael Thomas had a record breaking year and gets, no, there's not even a wide receiver award. Like, what award can he get? He got all pro. Other than that, what do we do to recognize his
legacy?
His legacy.
That's it. I feel like at this point right now for wide receivers, it's not really based upon your awards given. It's based upon, like, Jerry Rice. I mean, you can fact check me later, but I don't think he won an MVP. I don't think he won a regular season MVP, but he's the GOAT for wide receivers, right? He's the greatest of all time. And you can name other great wide receivers. So their reward is almost legacy. Whether that's fair or not, I don't know. But my suggestion to you is to submit a petition to the NFL and see
where it goes. This is my petition. Now, hopefully Roger Goodell or some NFL players out there are listening to this right now.
Because you know they're listening.
They are listening. They make a push for the breakdown of multiple awards.
Yeah.
For it being such a team sport. Like I said, I compare it a little bit to baseball, how baseball is, where pitching is.
Baseball is more individual, though, than football is. It is much more. I'm not saying it is individual, fully, but more, it's much more individual.
And fewer players, and
of course,
in the dynamic of how the game works.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I do equate pitching and being a quarterback a little bit.
I think you're stretching a little bit, but that's okay. Well, there we go. That's the first debate we have there, and I guess we'll just have to find out to see who the winner of the debate is. We'll just see what happens this next season and how the award is shaped out this season, and then we'll just call the winner. Who, if they go with your idea this year, then you can be the winner. If they keep it the same, then we'll just say I won.
We'll hear back from you. Definitely give us some feedback on
that. Absolutely. If you have an opinion on that, email us at water. waterbreakpod@gmail.com. 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 And we'd love to hear your thoughts on that one. Well, let's move into a little youth sports here, T.
Yeah.
And this is a hot topic.
Youth football.
Youth football. This is definitely a hot topic. What? And I want to hear your opinion. I have something on here. I haven't talked to you about this yet. I want to hear your opinion on this with youth football. What do you think? Should, I guess the question, if you had a son and you were figuring out where to put him right now, would you allow your son to play tackle football or would you prefer him to play flag? And this is strictly youth right now. We're not talking high school. We're not talking college. Yeah. I don't think there's any college leagues that have flag.
I mean, intramural leagues, yeah. Probably.
But what is your thought on that? What do you think?
So I am of the mindset that for football, youth should be played flag football until eighth grade or through all the way through middle school for youth okay. through middle school. The reason being, one, for safety and injuries, and I know the common belief is that kids get hurt a lot playing tackle football, which is not necessarily true. Kids are more likely to get hurt out skateboarding than they would playing tackle football or even doing some other sort of extreme sport.
Yeah.
But I think the level of injuries that can happen in football, I think, can be greater than, you know, that happen in soccer. Like soccer, they can, you know, roll an ankle, you know, or something like that, or even
for sure.
But with the, obviously the concussions is huge.
Yeah.
But then other types of injuries, I played football all growing up and, you know,
Did you play tackle football before eighth grade?
I played tackle football. I started playing tackle football in 11th grade.
Oh, okay.
I started playing in 11th grade. And here's why I'm the proponent of the flag football. I played flag football from 7th grade through 10th grade. I played flag football. And then started playing tackle football in my junior year of high school. And the transition was not hard at all.
Okay. Because that's something I was going to talk about for sure.
Because the thing about football is once you know how the game is played and you get it, the thing with flag football is you still know, you know, where to run, where to block, how to run a route. Really the transition is on the defensive side of the ball, I would say, is tackling, you know, and you know, form tackling.
Which I think most coaches would agree. Form tackling is a lot easier than teaching route running and formations mm-hmm. and all of that. That's probably one of the easiest things. I mean, when I played tackle football at a large public high school in Huntington Beach,
yeah.
And day one of summer workouts was, you didn't have full pads, but it was teaching form tackling.
Yeah.
You know, day one. And we did not spend much time on it because it was like, you either learn how to do this very simply, or if you don't, you're not going to play.
Yeah.
Like nothing's complicated about it. And then there were guys that didn't like to hit. So they just didn't last. Yeah. Like if you don't like to hit, you don't like to tackle, you're not going to last in tackle football. You're not going to play.
Yeah. And I think even with flag football, I know I played and you know, a lot of people played flag football, but there's still this level of physicality even in flag football. It's not to the level of tackle football, but you're still going to need to block for your runners and even make, you know, you'll still at times make contact when, you know, trying to, you know, run the football. But like you said, it's learning how to run the routes as a running back, knowing which holes to run through. And once you figure that out, it's basically learning how to tackle and how to break a tackle. And I think the mechanics of flag football, knowing how to, you know, avoiding the flags in the agility and the quickness that level of flag football helps on the offensive side for you to, you know, not get tackled or avoid tackling, the finesse side of tackle football. So that's where I stand.
For sure.
I don't think you should be playing tackle football before high school.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where I stand on that.
I don't have a strong opinion on it. I started playing tackle football in the third grade. Okay. I played third through ninth grade, and then I actually had a serious injury in ninth grade to my back and neck that put me out for a year and a half. And then my doctors didn't say I couldn't play, but recommended me not to play because the injury I had to my back. And but I played third through ninth grade, and I had a great time playing tackle football. So I'm not hating on anyone. Like, it's not like I,
yeah,
you know, I don't think you are either.
I love football.
And if a parent decides to, you know, say my son's going to play tackle football, it's not like we're hating on you. But my reasoning would just be this. Ask yourself why. When I was in ninth grade, I went to a large public high school. We had 120 freshmen try out for our freshman football team. 120 show up.
Wow.
Edison High School here in Huntington Beach.
Shout out Edison.
And I went to try out for the football team. And like I said, I had been playing tackle football from third through eighth grade. I had a lot of experience playing tackle football. And I thought I was going to be ahead of the curve. I thought I was going to have more experience. There were a lot of other guys who had it too, but I thought me and those guys would be like the top tier players.
Yeah.
So here's the three groups you had. You had those who had played tackle football, those who had played flag football, and those who had never played football. And the only people that were behind were the people who had never played football before. The people who had played tackle and the people who had played flag, the Friday Night Lights League and everything like that.
Yeah.
We were on the same level because the only thing they had not learned was form tackling, like we talked about.
Yeah.
And that is the simplest thing. Like I said,
it's not a tough transition.
You either get it or you don't. Or you either like to hit people or you don't. And if you don't, you either will not play or you will end up quitting because you don't like it. Like those, that's it. And so all of the guys that played flag, like me who played tackle, they knew the formations. They knew the routes. Yep. They even knew blocking schemes. Like they knew everything. They were fully prepared just like we were. And so I even learned as a freshman, like, these dudes are not behind like I thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
Like I thought these, like, we were going to come out and just be annihilating these flag football players. Like, this is a different game. Well, even in summer league, we did the 7-on-7 passing league.
Yeah.
Right. And in passing league, these flag guys,
They're the better one.
They are experienced in it. They're ready. They're doing it. And so they're a lot of times getting more reps because they're prepared for it. So I guess the question to me that I would ask is just why? Why risk it if there's no real benefit to it?
Yeah.
Why risk getting injured if there's no true benefit to playing tackle football? Again, if you put your kids in tackle football, I'm not saying you're a terrible parent. That's not it at all. But just for our discussion, my question and my answer would just be why? What is it worth? Is it worth? Because everyone knows, you know, again, we don't live in fear, but there's a chance playing tackle football, you can have a serious injury, a serious concussion. And so, you know, you are going to risk it, whether you're a senior in high school playing tackle football or you're a third grader, you are risking getting that concussion.
Right.
And so if there is another option in elementary school that prepares you the same to get ready for high school, why risk it?
Yeah. Do you think it should be, they should get rid of these Pop Warner tackle football leagues, or there should be more of a competition between the flag football and tackle football?
Yeah, league. I say why not leave it a competition? I mean, let it up to the parents. I don't think I'm going to have my son. Actually, I'm pretty positive I'm not going to have my son, Chandler, play tackle football.
I wouldn't have my kids
until he's in high school. If he wants to play when he's in high school, I'm more than happy to have him play high school tackle football. But if he can become just as prepared playing something that I know is, you know, much safer. And again, we're not coddling our children, you know, but if why, you know, why risk that when he will be just as prepared to play high school tackle football by playing flag? And so I don't think you should mandate it, like, or, you know, vote to get rid of tackle football. That's the parents' decision. Parents got to do what's best for them and their kids.
Yeah.
And if they feel that that's best preparing their children, by all means. I'm just saying from my personal experience and from what I've seen playing at a large public high school, those kids were just as prepared as we were.
Yeah.
And it really did not make that big of a difference.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you on that. And like you said, the biggest thing is the preparation. If the gap, I don't believe the gap is big between a flag football player and a tackle football
player. And if it was, we would probably be having a different conversation. Like, yeah, maybe get your kids in there in seventh grade or sixth grade, you know, give them a few extra years before high school, but it's just not there.
It's really not, yeah.
And I think if you asked high school coaches, they would probably say the same. And that might be a great conversation to have if we bring on a high school football coach to hear from them and hear their opinion on that.
Down the road.
Yeah.
So
let's see. Someone take those notes down for us. No. All right, T. Well, we're going to move on to our last segment here. All right. And as we did in episode one.
Ooh, this is my favorite. I love me some trivia.
I know. Let me introduce it first before you. Okay. We're going to play another game, another segment called Guess Who. And again, we are going to play the game Who Holds It this week. And for today's episode, and we are going to move on to a different game under Guess Who. But today is Who Holds It. And again, everything is football today. So we are talking NFL records here. NFL I want to share football. With you a few of these and see if you know the answers. T has not been given these questions beforehand. This is the first time he's hearing these. And so we'll see how you do, buddy.
I'm new to all these questions.
All right. Question number one. Who holds the record for most passing yards in a single season?
Oh, passing yards in a season?
Yes.
Oh, man. I want to say that's Drew Brees.
No.
If it's not Drew, is it the sheriff?
Is it Peyton? It's Peyton Manning.
Okay.
5,477 yards in 2013 with the Denver Broncos. Absolutely. Here's a little fun fact for you. He beat the previous record held by Drew Brees.
Okay.
Which was 5,476 yards, just 1 yard more. He beat the record by 1 yard.
Barely.
That's pretty hilarious. I thought that was kind of a fun.
I'm
kind of
disappointed in myself.
You should have known that.
I'm a diehard Broncos fan. Yes. Bleed blue and orange. Bronco country is.
You should be ashamed.
Broncos country is.
There, is every is Broncos big. Fan on in listening to this podcast is ashamed.
He's ashamed of me. He threw 55 touchdowns that year too. I mean, it's kind of bummed. And the season did not end well with the 43-8.
Yes.
Stomping by from the Seahawks. It's not. Bring that up.
You just did.
I know, I did.
All right, here we go, T. Next question. Most receiving yards in a single season. Who holds that record?
Receiving yards in a season? Is it yards in a season? Does Jerry Rice hold it?
No.
Okay, so it's not Jerry Rice. Is it Randy Moss?
No.
Okay.
Even younger than that.
Even younger than that. More recent than that.
Not extremely recent, but more recent.
More recent than Randy Moss breaking it. Calvin Johnson?
Yes. Calvin Johnson.
Megatron.
1,964 yards in 2012 with the Detroit Lions.
I wish he was with a different organization because I feel like he'd still be playing in the NFL. If he retired, he retired at 30, I believe. He's 30 years old or 31.
He retired real young. I didn't know the age for sure, but I know he retired real young. Yeah. So here you go. Next question, T. Most sacks in a single season.
I believe, is that Michael Strahan still holds the record?
Yes, he
22
does.
22 and a half, right?
22 and a half, 2001, New York Giants. Yep. Wow. I'm actually shocked you knew the exact number. That's really impressive.
Thank you.
That was extremely impressive. Okay. I got to give you props for that. All right. Here's another one here. Aside from Peyton Manning, what other NFL player threw for 50 touchdowns and for 5,000 yards in a single season? Aside from Peyton Manning, who is the only other quarterback to do that? 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, single season.
I believe that was in 2011 with Tom Brady.
No.
No? 50. Wow. I thought that was Tom.
It was not.
Dan Marino?
Nope.
Wow.
I'm gonna give you one more guess. A newer, much newer than that.
More recent. 50. Much. Pat Mahomes?
Yes.
Pat Mahomes did it. Okay.
Yes, in 2018, Patrick Mahomes did that. So very impressive. All right. If you know this one, you should know this one.
Okay.
So we'll see. Last one. Let's see how you do here, T.
All right.
Longest field goal made.
Longest field goal made. This was, and I watched this game.
Okay.
This was in Mile High
Yes.
This was a 64-yarder.
Yes.
From Matt Prater. Wow. I believe against the Tennessee Titans. I believe that's yes. who the game was. Yeah. I was there for that one.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Terrell Thorogood.
Thank you. Jason Elam's old record, and then the guy, kicker from the Titans had
it. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, the trivia expert, Mr. Terrell Thorogood, props to you, my friend. That is impressive. You knew a few of those that I didn't know you were going to get Michael Strahan. I was shocked by that, and you knew the exact number. I mean, I feel like that's bonus points there for you.
I should take away one of the ones I.
All right, we'll take away the Calvin Johnson one for you. We'll give you Calvin Johnson because you got
take away the Peyton Manning
okay.
one.
Okay, I don't know if we can take that one away because that's your boy. And you missed that. Man. Well, there you have it. That concludes Who Holds It. Thanks for tuning in today.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Water Break. New episodes are released every Monday, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button to be notified when a new episode is available.
As you continue to listen to the podcast, we would love to hear from you. If you'd like to give feedback on the show, or you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, send an email to waterbreakpod@gmail.com. Once again, that's waterbreakpod@gmail.com.
We'll see you on the next episode of Water Break. Stay hydrated.